You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
Thank you very much. Another beautiful day in Chicago. Thank you for tuning in, listening to the show. It's always appreciated. It's always welcome, folks. It's always, I'm always appreciative and humbled by your loyalty to this show. I really am. And I thank you so much for that. I hope you're telling other people about this show too. Tell other people now. Let them know. If you like it, you tell other people. All right. So they can listen to the show. It's always appreciative, and I always try to, as you can tell by the start of the show, I always try to start on an upbeat, because there's too many people in the world who are down, miserable. If they are depressed, they feel worthless, useless, or helpless. You know, whenever you tune into this show, I try to brighten up your day a little bit. Also brighten up my own day. You know, I mean, there's not sometimes days can go by where I feel sort of those same some of those same adjectives. And, you know, we all are human, you know, and my show is here to brighten the mood you know, things like that. And I hope I'm doing that. And because we are here. Making the world a better place one show at a time. That's what it's all about, making the world a better place. But every time you look around and try to make the world a better place, something goes bad, something goes wrong. I think we just had two terrorist attacks. And we're going to two terrorist attacks in the world. And Britain has exited the EU, European Union, okay? So these things, you know, things are always happening in the world that seem like the world is going backwards instead of frontwards. And my show is here to try to get the world back on track, if ever. It's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. But I can't do this by myself. I need a lot of people out there to take stock in their own communities, vote. You know, you have to vote, throw the bums out, you know, get the right people in. And so it's going to take a lot to make the world a better place. And I'm not just having this on the show. I don't have that logo or that saying just because I want people to listen. It's true. I'm trying to make the world a better place. I mean, if you're not on this world to help other people out, why are you here? I think that's the reason why most of us are here. If we have the means, the know-how to help someone else, you know, around the world even, to make their day a little bit better than what it is, we're doing something. We're doing something. And I say again, I don't think anybody is put on this earth, should be put on this earth, if you can't help out another person. I mean, why not? Volunteer, you know, if you don't volunteer your time, you don't have to always give up money. Your time sometimes is more valuable than money when it comes to helping others. And that's what this show is about, motivating you to be the best person that you can be. That's the kind of guest I like to have on the show. not motivating me, not to promote the show, not to, you know, advertise what I'm doing, but to give you, the listener, a little bit of knowledge about something that maybe you even care about. And I try to have guests on the show who provide that. Even guests on the show that can even teach and show the host something. You know, I don't know everything. Of course, I don't know everything. I don't know a lot of things. If I knew everything, I'd be in better shape than I am now. So I don't know everything. So my guest today is author Dre Cleveland and her book, God is a Woman. Now that's something, I mean, when I saw that, I said, wow. And I'm pretty sure I'm going to try to press her to talk about that. I mean, I talked to her earlier today and she was eager about being on the show tonight. So, and she's going to tell us a little bit about herself. So author, my guest is Dre Cleveland and her book, God is a Woman. And like always, things in the news, anything goes. Chicago's mess, the Chicago public schools and its mess. Our governor, who is constantly, you know, being ridiculed, but it doesn't seem to bother him. You know, so all of this stuff is coming up today on the show and all through the week. And we got some great guests throughout the week. I'm on Monday through Thursday. I'm always saying Friday, but it's always Monday through Thursday. So you can always write that down on your calendar. This is a fun show. I try to make it fun, but it's also a serious show. It's a talk show. I'm a radio host. I am an author. So if you want to, you know, check out some of the stuff that I've written, basically fiction, but that's some good stuff up there. You can always find me on Amazon.com and leave a review. Please leave a review. If you like what you read, read a review. Leave me a review. And if you want a review for one of your books, just let me know. I mean, I'm always there. Even we can even swap reviews, you know, but check out my stuff, the fiction, short stories, essays, even some novels up there. It's fiction, but it's good stuff. It's the kind of stuff that makes you. I had one reader who read one of my stories, and she said that she could not. She started from the beginning and she read it all the way through because she could not put it down. She called me a great writer. And a lot of the reviews that I do have, they say some of the things similar as this particular reader did. She bought the book and everything. She purchased it. And she said that it was great. It's a short story, but it was great. It was short and sweet, but good. I get a lot of criticism sometimes from my short stories because people say, well, George, it was too short. What happened? But, you know, check that stuff out. It's pretty good. And I'm not saying that because it's me, because I wrote it. I only produce writings that I'm in love with. You know, I write the stuff, kind of stuff that I like. And if I like it, then I know you're going to like it. Check it out. That's a challenge, okay? All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I can barely say it. And, folks, it is beautiful in Chicago once again. It's about 10 to 15 temperatures lower than it was in the last few days. But still, it's beautiful. It's wonderful. You know, I mean, I'm watching the people from my studio down on the Broadway here. Avenue here, and everybody's walking by the window where I am. They're looking at me, and I'm looking out at them. But you can see the sunshine on their faces. You can see the sunshine in their eyes because they are enjoying the day. If it's nice where you are, get out and don't even worry about listening to the show. You can always download and podcast the show for later. You know, get out and enjoy yourself. Do something. You know, enjoy the weather because it's not going to be here long. That dreaded winter is going to come, and it's going to be cold as hell. Get out there and enjoy the day. Walk, take a nice drive somewhere down Lakeshore Drive or wherever, and just enjoy the moment. Enjoy. Do not waste it. Do not waste all of this great, great weather if you can just get out and enjoy it. I know some people have to work, but, you know, I mean, when you get off, you know, when you get off work, get out and enjoy the weather. You know, walk around the neighborhood, get to know your neighbors, you know, and get you some exercise. Walking is exercise. 15, 20 minutes, 30 minutes a day. Wow, it's great. You know, and it also releases stress. Walking releases stress. I mean, you have a bad day at the job. You know, once you get off, hey, you know, walk 30, 40 minutes, maybe to an hour, and release all that stress. And then start again, you know, then start again the next day. You have a problem at work, you stress, you know, get out here and exercise and walk it off. It's great. You'll live longer. Believe me. All right, you're listening to George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. I'm not a doctor, but I do know. I practice what I preach, folks. I also love to get out here and walk, exercise, run, jog, you know, go to the gym. I have my own gym in my studio right here. Well, a couple of exercise machines. So, you know, I try to keep myself in good shape. But, you know, as the older as you get, the pounds just seem to come. You know, so we're going to have a doctor on the show in July. So she's going to tell us all about, talk about diabetes, hopefully nutrition. I had a guest on the show last week. She talked about pregnancy. Wow, the ratings went up on that one. So we got to get more talk topics on that one because it benefits people. And that's what this show is about, to benefit those who want to be helped. And that's what it's all about. I mean, I think everybody on the earth should help someone if you can afford it, if you can. But if you're the one that's in need of help, then this is the show for you. You know, because this show is always about helping you out, helping to better your life. Because I remember when I was young, I was looking around for somebody to talk to, somebody to help me, guide me, but there was no one, so I had to do it all myself. And now that I know, and now that I know a few things, I'm here to teach and show those who are willing and wanting to learn. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on LinkedIn, Google. I'm all over the place. Make sure you look me up on Amazon. I have a lot of material up there. Leave a review. And once again, my guest is author Dre Cleveland, and she's going to talk about her book. I'm going to try to get her to talk about her book, God is a woman. Wow, that's something.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
The George Wilder Jr. Show is now on the air. All right. Enough with that noise. Enough with the noise. All right. I've talked about some things that were happening in the news. Deadly airport bombing attack in Istanbul. Wow. It's breaking news. ISIS claims responsibility is probably what I'm going to hear next. And there's another terrorist attack. We're going to talk about that later on into the show. Wow. Somehow these countries, including the United States, just don't have a handle on this terrorism thing. They have to get a handle on this. They just, the terrorists are winning because they seem to be bombing everywhere, bombing and, you know, bombing the place to hell. We have to, as a world, we have to get a handle on the terrorism. You know, I mean, the United States and our allies, we're bombing the hell out of ISIS, but it seems as though they only get stronger. I mean, we're bombing the hell out of ISIS in Syria, Iraq, and other places. A lot of them are dying, you know, being killed. But we have too many people in the United States and around the world who are becoming radicalized. You know, ingrown terrorism is what we have to deal with. Ingrown terrorism. And a lot of these countries around the world, especially some of these Muslim countries, you know, some of these countries, they don't have laws. They don't have any real law. And most of the time, majority of the time, the politicians and the people who run the countries, the lawmakers, they're corrupt and crooked and, you know, and murderers themselves. So the world is, you know, need, and it's in need of repair if we can repair it. You know, so, and women are totally disrespected around the country. I mean, the women, except for in the United States, I think women are really powerful in the United States, but elsewhere around the country, I mean, they are just, it's like they're third class citizens or something. Certain, you know, especially in some of these Muslim countries, and gays. In some of these Muslim countries, I mean, if you're gay, give up your head. They're going to slice it right off and put it on one of those stilts or something, you know, and a spike, you know. And it's just rotten the way the world is. And we're here to try to make the world a better place. And that's what it's all about. As long as I'm on the air, as long as I got this show, and as long as I pay for it, I guess I will have it. We're going to try to make the world a better place because, you know, it has to be that way. And every guest that comes on the show, I want them to feel the same way of trying to make the world a better place, even though they're trying to profit from it some sort of way. But that's okay. That's fine. As long as it's legitimate and can be realized, that's fine. You know, that is totally fine. All right, George Wilder Jr. on the George Wilder Jr. Show. All right, making the world a better place one show at a time. It is always beautiful for me to say that because I mean it from my heart. I really do. You know, I really do, but I know I can't do it alone. This show is not about just talking, folks. This show is about putting action behind words because we have too many politicians now that all they do is talk. It doesn't make sense for me to talk, just talk. And we have so many other radio hosts, broadcast radio show hosts. Then we have a lot of internet radio show hosts. And basically all they do is talk. And some of them talk pretty good. It sounds good. But there is no action. There is nothing put forward. And that's where this show is going to change that. I'm going to put forward. If what I'm going to say, it's going to be some action put behind my words because I'm the type of guy who likes action. I like those action verbs when I'm writing. I like to do to move and to get things done instead of just sitting back talking about it and just sitting back hoping somebody else is going to do it. Now, we got too many people in the world who are like that. They know that things are effed up. They know this, but they're sitting back waiting for someone else to solve their problems. You cannot sit back and wait for someone else to solve your problems. It ain't going to happen. You got to get out and make an effort and solve your own problems. While you're solving your own problems, at the same time, you could be solving problems and dilemmas for other people. And it will make you feel good about it. So we've got two. If we can get everybody up off the couch, everybody to put down that cell phone and think about the things around them. Think about what is around you and how you can make it better. I mean, if you're living in a great neighborhood, it doesn't matter, any neighborhood, get out and support your neighborhood. Get out and support the there's in every neighborhood, in every community, there's always people to be helped. There's always people asking for help, whether it's food pantry, whether it's clothes, whether it's jobs, whether it's wanting to lower the crime rate in those communities. We can help. We can help. We don't want to sit back and say, hey, wow, maybe somebody will help those people. You get out there and you help those people. Because you're waiting on someone else, it will never get done. It takes you. It takes you. If you want to get involved in the political process, that's easy. You just, you know, look around in your community. Find your community. Find your community office or your alderman's office. That's the first place you start. If you want to help out in your community, in your community on a political basis, go check out the alderman's office or your city hall, wherever you are. It's easy. It's easy. Volunteer your time. You don't always have to, you know, use money for this, because a lot of us, you know, we're just living from paycheck to paycheck. Some of us are. So get out here and to help. Help out. All right. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. We are waiting in the wings. It is such a beautiful day, folks. It is totally beautiful. As I was saying before, Britain departures from the EU, European Union. Rippling effect on nations' economies. Yeah, that seemed to be seemed to be what's happening, folks. A rippling effect. If I can say it. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see what we got here. Okay, let's see. My computer done gone down, folks. it's always a mess here, folks. It really is. We will be right back as we try to regroup. Thank you. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. Blast rocks Istanbul airport, dozens dead. Well, we're going to talk about that a little later on, but the terrorism seems to never take a rest. You know what I'm saying? It never seems to take a rest. I want to mention this in Chicago. Buddy Ryan, coach for 35 years. He's a 35-year coach. He died. I remember him back when the 85 Bears was doing their thing, you know. So everybody's paying tribute to him, even Mike Ditka, some of the Bears on that was on that team in 1985. So that's a loss. That's a loss. He was a great guy. He was one of the reasons why the Bears won the Super Bowl that year, you know, but they never came. They came close the year after that. But I remember it didn't materialize. It, you know, it's how many years? 31 years ago, whatever. That they won the Super Bowl, if I'm right or correct. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on I'm all over the place. Google, LinkedIn. I'm on Amazon.com. Check out some of my work up there. It's great stuff. It's wonderful stuff. And it's a beautiful day in Chicago. Let's go to the phones. Yeah, are you on the George Wilder Jr. Show? Go right ahead.
Hello, Mr. Wilder. This is Drake Cleveland. How are you?
Oh, thanks for doing this show, Drake Cleveland. You know, who is, what's the name? Let me see. Narcisse Randra, is that your agent?
Yeah, that's my assistant, Narcisse.
Okay. You know what? There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, I try. I guess a lot of radio hosts don't matter. It doesn't matter. But I try to deal directly with the author instead of I try to cut out the middle person. But you know what? A lot of people don't like that.
Well, he does all my scheduling. So that's who you were talking to.
Yeah. You got to talk to my agent. I can't be on your show. You got to talk to my agent. I said, well, then. I try to cut out the middleman. When I do that, I'm thinking I'm doing the author or the guest a favor when I do that. But sometimes they'll say, "Well, you just got to talk to us," you know. So I say because a lot of the agents they're getting a salary or some sort of a kickback or payment for this, and to be on my show is totally free. That's why I go directly to the authors. They can save that little cash that they have to shell out to the agent or somebody, but, you know, by being on the show free. Because
deal with agents.
I used to try to deal with agents, but I let them go. I mean, when I was trying to find an agent to help me publish my books, you know, you had to have an agent to do this, an agent to that. I mean, I totally look for agents. And majority of them turned me down. So I said, the hell with you guys. I'm going to do it myself. I don't need you.
I found out
I sold more books. I had better publicity. I didn't need these guys. Because a lot of the book agents, the literary agents, they will turn you down without even knowing anything about you. They just know that you contacted them, you know. All right, enough about me. All right, Drake Cleveland, tell my audience a little bit about you and what makes what you do so special.
Okay, well, I am from Brooklyn, New York, born and raised. Mm-hmm. I've been to Chicago one time.
I get a lot of calls from New York for some reason.
Okay. You do?
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a lot of people over here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're leaving Chicago and going there.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well,
no,
I know
kidding.
A lot of people are leaving New York and going other places because it is way expensive here now.
Oh, it's expensive here. I mean, you're talking about the taxes. And you're talking about rent. You're talking about mortgages. It's out of control. Go right ahead.
Yes, it is. It is. So I should add, I'm soon to be a Georgia transplant. But I would say the important thing to say about me is that I am an author. I'm also a speaker and a success coach, which is interesting because I grew up being pretty shy and insecure about myself.
I read that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I didn't you know, this is a reality that wouldn't have happened unless I had taken certain steps in my life in order to create this as a possibility. And so what I do with people with my coaching is I help them to also be able to create possibilities in their life that wouldn't have happened otherwise. So it's been a great journey. And a lot of my books, I have 3 published books, and all 3 of them are self-help books, and along those particular lines of helping people to realize their own true potential and personal power.
That's great. That's wonderful. I saw your books, but one of them caught my eye, at least the title did, and it says God is a Woman. Can you tell us about that one?
Sure. That's actually the very first book that I wrote, and it's funny that you said that because that's why that's the title. When I first wrote this book, I wanted to create a title that would draw people's attention.
You got mine.
Because see, so I did my job. Because I knew that it would cause some controversy for some people.
Mm-hmm.
So it got a lot of people talking. That was one good thing. But I wrote this book back in, like, I want to say 2007 or
okay.
so. But at the time, definitely when I was promoting it, it caused a lot of conversation. It sparked a lot of conversation. So it gave me a good platform to be able to share what the book is really about. Because the book is not about God being a woman. I personally think God is both in the same, both male and female, all of us and none of us all at the same time. But I believe that women needed to see themselves as powerful as they see men. And I think a lot of times religion, by accident or on purpose, inadvertently gives women the impression that they are not as powerful as men are, simply because in those books we tend to be focused on a male persona. And it's funny because I was listening earlier. Go ahead.
I was going to say basically your books, if you put them all in one pot and stir them all together, it's basically about empowering women.
Empowering women. The first one is definitely geared toward women. The second one is geared toward all those who are ready to get out of the stance of life and get on the court and actually be playing for their life to go the way that they say it goes, not the way it goes by default. Most of us are not aware that we really do live our lives on default. We kind of do the same things every day, same thing, different day. And we don't really make a lot of significant changes in the areas of our lives that are important to us. And also that might be a thorn in our side in some instances. And so as a result, a lot of our life is spent just kind of going through the motions and not actually creating some significant change. And so the second two books, one is for adults and the other one is actually for kids. It's the same book, but rewritten for kids to be able to use, really teaches people how to use particular principles to just get out and consciously create the life that they really want to live.
I was reading from your website that you were very, very shy.
Right.
I want to ask you a question. Do you think shyness can actually stop your mobility in trying to better yourself? You think shyness plays a negative part in someone's life? Being shy?
I don't think shy in and of itself does, because I think shy is just, it is what it is. It's a word and it's a way that someone can be. And it could be, it could have positive effects and it could have negative effects. What I think is negative about it is when a person uses it as an excuse or a reason why they can't do certain things in their life. So for instance, for me, if I were to just be shy or decide that, well, because I'm shy, I can't do what I'm doing now. I would never have become a life coach. I would never be a speaker. I would never. Yeah. So there are a lot of things about my current occupation of which I love, and I don't think I would ever trade it for the world, but who I was being a lot of my, for the majority of my life up until maybe my mid to late 20s even. So very up to very recently, I would not be able to do what I'm doing right now. I would not be able to be this person. And it took.
Yeah, you probably wouldn't be on the radio. You probably wouldn't be here on the radio show if you were still shy.
Absolutely not. My whole thought process would be people are trying to listen. They are listening to me. Oh, I used to hyperventilate. When I stood up in front of people, and all they had to do was ask me my name, and I would be, forget about it.
Sounds like public speaking. I mean, anybody. Yeah. I mean, when I first started public speaking, my knees were shaking. I mean, nobody could see them, but I could feel. I knew they were shaking, and you know, people, oh yeah, I was good, Georgia, but I was scared to death.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it does have its good points, because I still, you know, in a lot of ways still hold that shy, quote unquote, gene. It's not really a gene, but I've been being that way for so long in my life that it's still my default.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. It's instilled inside of you, but you know how to turn it on and turn it off at times.
Right, exactly. And sometimes it serves me because I get to be observant. Mm-hmm. So I'm not always focused on being the life of the party or, you know, always, you know, talking just because people are talking. A lot of times I use that opportunity to listen and really get, you know, what's going on around me and pay attention to the people and, you know, what they are interested in. And, you know, it's being shy gave me a very attuned way of hearing people.
Yes.
Because I wasn't usually talking. Therefore I was more listening to what other people said. But, you know, I think it lent itself to helping me to become an amazing coach, because that's a big part of what a coach has to do, because it's about you, and it's about, you know, what you want, not what my agenda is for you and me go tell you what you should do. But more about, you know, who's this person that's in front of me? Who do they believe they are? And I can hear it in what you're saying when you're talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I've always been able to do it because I've always not been talking.
All right, Drake Cleveland on the George Wilder Jr. show. I mean, how many clients have you had that you've empowered them to be a better person than what they were when they actually met you?
Oh my goodness, I don't know.
A lot? That many?
Yeah. Sure. I've been doing, like I said, since I wrote that book, God is a Woman, about 2007, I've been coaching since then.
Wow.
So,
that's great. I mean, that's wonderful. That's what it's all about, helping people. And I'm pretty sure that these three books that you've written, you probably went back on your personal experiences to get some of this down in those books. Some of your personal experiences are incorporated in what you write.
Yes, absolutely. All of my books incorporate my life experiences and what I've been through. In fact, my particular mantra in general, my mission statement is that I seek to empower the lives of others by giving of my heart and soul, showing them the beautiful inside of me so they can learn to see the beautiful inside of themselves. Every single thing that I write, it comes from my personal experience. So people can see, you know, if basically if I could do it, you could do it. And better yet, I'm still doing it. So it's not like nothing is ever coming from a place of I've arrived someplace and now, you know, I got to go back and get you. It's like, no, we're doing it together, because life is always changing. There's always levels to this game. And just when you think you got somewhere, you know, you're going to meet other challenges. You're going to meet, you know, you're going to have to become somebody else who you haven't already become in order to move past those obstacles and become that person. So you know, I just want people to understand that it can be done and it's still being done, and that means they can do it too.
How do you feel when someone, how do you feel when you're, when someone is getting some positiveness out of what you're coaching them? What makes you, how do you feel when you're helping someone and someone benefits from your help in coaching, speaking, being an author?
Well, to me, it really just makes me feel like I'm on purpose. It reminds me that I know that I'm on purpose. And on the inside, it really feels like, it feels like goosebumps. Like, I get goosebumps. I really do. Like, I know, like, when they got it, and I know, a lot of times you can feel right at the point where, you know, something happened and the breakthrough has happened.
Yeah.
Even just in the conversation, and it just gives me goosebumps. Like, that's when I know. And I tell them, I was like, and I got goosebumps right now, so I already know.
In other words, you feel real good about it. You feel really great about helping someone, and you feel really great about that they can actually benefit from what you're saying and what you're teaching.
Yeah, definitely.
That's a great thing. That's a great thing. What about your other two books?
Well, the other two books, like I said, they are really twins of each other. That one is focused on adults and the other is focused on kids. And it's called The Power Player's Guide to Playing Powerfully in the Game of Life. So, like I said, those two particular books, they are focused on the five power principles that everyone needs in order to play powerfully in this game. That means not be a bystander, not be a spectator, not, you know, sit in the stands at the Cleveland and Golden State game, only standing for the cheer and or boo, depending on who you're going for, but actually be part of the game.
You know
on the court.
That's what I tell my son all the time. I said, man, stop being a spectator. Stop being some person who is being led around by other people. Be a leader. Get out there and do something. You know, I mean, do not sit there and just spectate. Be a part of it, you know. And I think he listened. I think he listened, you know. So, and that goes for people in general. Like you just said, stop spectating. Stop, you know, hoping that someone else is going to do it for you. You got to get out there and do it yourself. Looking and being led around by someone else or being controlled by someone else, that's not living. That's not life.
Right. Exactly. Or being controlled by something else. Because a lot of people, you know, will easily tell you, oh, no, nobody controls me. I control myself. But underneath, there are circumstances, there are things, there are beliefs, you know, that we carry around with us. We call them lies. You know, they're lies that we carry around with us that really do run our lives. They really do, except they're unconscious, so we don't even really think about it. We don't realize it. So, you know, when we say, you know, somebody is running our lives, we have to also look at the things, the ideas that we allow to run our lives. You know, like when you were talking earlier, I was listening about, you know, people in other countries and how they, you know, how they live and, you know, how it's different from here. You know, it was making me think of that and the fact that, you know, in each of those circumstances, no matter where anyone lives or not, there are certain ideas, there are certain, you know, customs, I guess you could say, even, that are really what's running people's lives. And if they just got that those things weren't, you know, true, or they weren't the truth, rather, you know, and that you could really choose to be or do or have any and everything that you really want, the entire world could change. But except, you know, the majority of the world realize that it's not the truth. It's just true for where they're at or for what they have learned.
Hey, thanks for being on the show, and you've been a great guest. I want to ask you one other thing, one last thing. I'm reading here that you were featured in a documentary.
Yes.
Can you talk about that for a little bit?
Sure. Well, that documentary was called Head Ladies in Charge, and it was it actually came out in last year, and we had a movie premiere in New Jersey. It was really a great time. But that was a documentary on several female entrepreneurs, women entrepreneurs, who had a story to tell about something that they had gone through in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what they learned from that experience so that other people could see themselves in those stories and begin to transform themselves.
Oh, wow. Great, great. Are you thinking of writing any more books?
Yes, I am. I'm actually working on one. I've been working on it for a few years, but I got sidetracked because I lost a lot of it on my old computer. I'm very sad about that.
Oh, you know what? Next time, you back that stuff up. That's what I do. Back it up. I mean, every time I'm editing a few stories right now, and every time I edit, I make sure I back it all up because I never know when this computer might just go kaplooey on me, you know?
Exactly.
You lose everything.
Exactly.
And make sure you back everything up. You can even back stuff up in your email. So, you know.
Yeah, I've learned. I've learned.
Yeah, we all learned after that.
Exactly. Because it was really like years ago. It was like 4 or 5 years ago I was like, oh, my goodness. So now I've gotten in the habit because of that. Like, I put everything in my email. But that book is a novel. That book is a novel. And it's still based on my true story, but I fictionalized it to protect those who may not have been so innocent.
Yeah, so do I. I mean, I change the names and locations and sometimes, but sometimes when the people read your book, they know it's you. Oh, that's me. I know that's me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, those people are definitely going to know. Let me tell you, they are waiting for that book because it was about when I was in college and I had gotten into a very tumultuous relationship, put it that way. And it almost caused me to get put out of school. And I went to Cornell, so it's not even a easy school to be at in the first place. But I almost got myself put out because, you know, I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, you know, worrying about this particular gentleman.
Yeah, well, it...
Yeah, so I learned a lot in that particular...
Yeah, we all learn a lot. I think that's how you progress in life, is to learn a lot. We never stop learning, no matter how old we get. We learn, and no one should be... You know, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. Do not feel embarrassed about something that you've learned that you should have learned a long time ago. Yeah, I learn stuff all the time. I do.
Yeah.
Dre Cleveland, thanks for being on the show. Can you tell us where we can go find your books and your websites and all of this kind of thing?
Absolutely. And you're welcome. Mm-hmm. It's been a pleasure.
No problem.
People can find me at www.drecleveland.com. Mm-hmm.
Wow. What about your, are you on Amazon?
Yes. All those books are on Amazon, but if you go to that website, everything's there. So the books are there. Some of the programs that I'm working on are on there. Mm-hmm. And my social media links are also on there. So that's just the easiest way to find me, just drecleveland.com.
Okay, that's great. Thanks for being on the show. One other thing I want to say, that this show is going to be downloaded in podcasts, and after, there's going to be a link to it. Would you like for me to send you a link to this particular show that you're on to put on your website, or, you know, to put it with the rest of your radio shows?
Absolutely.
I see you've been on quite a bit, the Jeff Fox radio show and including the New York Black Expo and Sister to Sister. You know, yeah, great, wonderful, beautiful. Add me in there. Add this show.
I sure will.
All right. Thanks for being on the show. All right. Dre Cleveland on George Wilder Jr. Show.
All right.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Dre Cleveland on George Wilder Jr. Show. She was fun. She was exciting. It was great. And, we're going to take a break right now, folks. We will be right back. That was fun. who is it? Somebody's at the door. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is great. It's been wonderful. God is a Woman. I got to check that book out. Even though it's, I believe it's empowering women. That's a great thing. So we are looking at right now, Bruce Rauner. What the hell is this? Okay, Rauner. Dems produce competing stopgap bills as clock ticks. That means, folks, in the city of Chicago, failing Governor Bruce Rauner has produced a stopgap funding bill for schools. Not for schools. He don't want schools to be part of this. This guy wants to take money from poor and failing public schools and give that money to rich schools downstate. That's crazy. I've said this before while I was on the show. This is Robin Hood in reverse. This is nutty, folks. 347-857-1762 is the George Wilder Jr. Show, and we're talking about things in the news right now, and it's just awful the way this guy is. They're supposed to be now. July 1st is the deadline for them to try to get some sort of a budget in the state of Illinois, or a lot of things are going to stop. If it's not court enacted, if it's not court ordered, things, everything in Illinois will stop. That includes road construction. Road constructions. And we have deteriorating infrastructure all over the Illinois. This guy is a mess. All he has to do is sign a spending bill, and we will be over. But a lot of the programs in the city of Chicago that lack funding or funding has been eliminated, some of those programs are gone for good. Some of those workers are gone for good. Illinois is the highest state in America with the highest unemployment, and Bruce Rauner is to blame for that. Yes, this state was in a financial mess before Bruce Rauner took office, but it is now in a worse shape than it's ever been. Crane Business Paper, a prestigious paper, calling Rauner a failure. They endorsed him, and they turn around and call him a failed governor. The Tribune has called him a failed governor. The Chicago Tribune sometimes has called him a failed governor. Some other publications, even former governors, Republican governors, have called Rauner out on his actions. But this guy is so pissed. He doesn't like public schools. He doesn't like unions. He doesn't like workman compensation. He wants to do those things. He wants to cut and get rid of all of those things before he will pay the bills that he's supposed to pay, that he's required to pay by the Illinois Constitution. And he still won't do it. The man he called public schools crumbling prisons. He will not apologize for that. He's not backing down from that. He doesn't give a damn. He doesn't like poor children. He doesn't like poor schools. This man is crazy. Now he's coming up with a six-month deal. Also, the legislature, they're coming up with six-month deals. They're competing against one another. And this is why I know we will not get a budget by July 1st. It ain't going to happen. They don't like each other. They don't want to work with each other. Rauner, he is a governor you can't trust. He talks about them. He blasts them. He calls them names. He said they're failures and all of this. How in the hell can you work with somebody who says those things about you? Michael Madden, he just talks about Michael Madden and like a dog. You know, and Rauner is the one that's the blame for all of this. I mean, you can blame them all, but he is the governor, so he takes the brunt of the blame. There's no doubt about that. But he... You can't beat Rauner blaming other people. He goes downstate Illinois. He all these pictures and photo ops and shaking hands with people who are smiling. They're probably afraid of him. They probably work for the state. He's probably their boss. But he will not come up here in Chicago. They don't want him in Chicago because he's decimated so many of these communities, so many of these neighborhoods. They don't want to see him by not having a budget and by cutting all of these programs that these people in these communities uses. People are now asking Rauner for money for summer jobs. The thing about it, the money is not coming out of Rauner's pocket. All he needs is a signature. It's the legislature that's doing it. A lot of people saying spending is out of control. I don't think so. They have to find another way of doing this. They're going to raise taxes eventually. Other programs are going to be cut eventually. But this is crazy. You have a state road construction is going to stop after the first if they don't have a budget. And if they don't have a budget, this would be the second fiscal year without a budget. The state is in a mess. There's 50 states in the United States. Illinois is the only state without a budget. And that has never, ever happened before in the history of this state until we got this madman in office. Because his agenda, his turnaround agenda, is what he wants. If he doesn't get it, the state falls. And then if the state falls, he's going to blame the Democrats. He's going to blame other people. That's all he does. He goes downstate. He blames Chicago for this. He blames Chicago for that. He blames the mayor. The mayor's a failure. He's a scary cat. He blames Michael Madigan. He blames John Cullerton. He points the blame at everybody but himself. And what he's doing, folks, and I've said this several times, this guy is prepping for re-election. This guy is campaigning for re-election. This is why he's blaming everybody. He's bashing him. But I do think the people of Chicago and the workers of Illinois know who's to blame for this. They know who's responsible. There's no way Rauner can persuade people to take his side of the things when he's the cause of all of this mess. A stopgap budget. That's a six-month budget. We should have an entire year. An entire year, because in 6 months, we're back in this mess. We're back in it. Rauner is a failed governor. He's calling everybody else a failure because they're calling him a failure. But this guy is a failed governor. Mayor, I'm not a fan of Mayor Rahm Emanuel. I think he should be out on his ass. But he said something today that echoed everybody. This guy has wasted 18 months in office stepping on poor children, stepping on poor schools, and erecting the rich schools. At one time, he wanted to take $74 million from Chicago public schools. They already suffering. He wanted to take that money and give it to rich schools downstate. Robin Hood in reverse, taking from the poor and giving to the rich. And he makes no bones about it. He makes no bones about it. He gets on television and nobody listens to him, folks. No, Rauner speaks in front of the Capitol steps. Nobody listening to him. Nobody pays a goddamn thing about what he's saying because he's done nothing for the state. Why would I listen to him? Why would anybody listen to him? They'll listen to him downstate because they're rich. The rich listen to the rich. They're going to listen to him. They're going to support him downstate because they're rich. They don't need this. They don't need Chicago Public Schools. They don't need social programs. So they're rich. Of course they're going to support him. So of course they're going to say all of these warming things about this man when this man is a tyrant. You know, when it comes to the state of Illinois, ruining it. Everybody who's anybody, whether they live in Illinois or out of Illinois, they're blaming this guy. People are leaving Illinois in droves because of who? Rauner, the legislature, Rahm Emanuel, the high taxes. Drake Cleveland told me that it's expensive in New York. I believe it. It's expensive in Chicago. Chicago is a beautiful place to stay. Illinois is a wonderful state. We just got some asshole, non-caring, ugly-ass politicians who want to destroy this state and then finger point and blame other people. From my understanding, they're supposed to be voting on a stopgap budget. I don't think it's going to happen, folks. It is not going to happen. I mean, either we're going to get one by tonight or tomorrow or the next day. But on the first, if we don't have anything, road construction stops. This is crazy. Road construction stops. Paycheck stops to state workers. They won't be able to get their checks. Lottery. If you win the lottery in Illinois, you have to wait to get your money if you ever get it. All of these things are going to stop. If it's not court ordered, it's going to stop. And these guys are still wrangling over nothing while the state burns. And get this, folks. Get this. Rauner wants Bruce Rauner. It's funny. It's totally funny. This guy wants, I said this before on previous shows, this guy wants to be reelected. This is why I say he's going around campaigning for 2018. It's 2 years away, but he's campaigning because he knows that the Democrats are coming after him and they're going to put up all kinds of roadblocks and opponents for him to run against. The thing about Rauner is that one of the reasons why he's going to lose is that is because he's given Democrats so much ammunition to work with. They've got so much on him. For example, calling public schools crumbling schools. You know, in other words, the teachers are the guards and the kids are the prisoners. And teachers all over have taken offense to that. So that's one of many things that the Democrats are going to be using against him. The only thing that Rauner has going for him in 2018, the only thing that he's got and hoping for in 2018 when he runs for reelection, he's hoping for, just like every other Republican, he's hoping that you and I do not vote. That's what he's banking on, that you and I do not vote. This is how Republicans get in office. Because I vote because people do not vote. They do not get up off their asses and go out there and vote. If you don't vote, Rauner will take office. There is no doubt about it. But if you get out there and you vote in droves, this guy will be thrown out on his mug, on his ass. He deserves it. He deserves this. He doesn't think he deserves it. He thinks Michael Madigan deserves it. But Michael Madigan has been in the legislature for 40 to 45 years, I believe. Of course, that's too damn long. I think he should retire. I think he's 74 years old. He looks older because I imagine being a politician is going to make you look older. Look at Obama. I mean, his hair is white. And what does he have to show for his presidency? Not much. 8 years, not much. And so Bruce Rauner and the legislature, they're crafting bills. Actually, the bills have already been crafted. And the stopgap bill, which is a budget it's a six-month budget. That's why they call it a stopgap. It's 6 months instead of a year. And that's stupid. That's crazy because you know what? Even if they do vote on a budget tonight, which I doubt, I doubt it. I doubt if we get it. I doubt it's going to go past the first. Everything is going to stop. But let's say even if they do vote on a stopgap budget now, tonight or tomorrow night before the 1st of July, in 6 months, Christmas, after Christmas, January, we're going to be back in this mess again. I'm going to be yelling on the radio again. It's never ending. It's never ending. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. It is 7:06, folks. Thanks for listening to the show. It's 7:06 p.m. I was going to say a.m., but it's p.m. And we're going to be right back.
Everybody, Pastor Steven Anderson here from Faithful Word Baptist Church in Tempe, Arizona. And I just wanted to record a quick video about the news this morning about the shooting in Orlando. I guess a Muslim terrorist went into a gay bar and shot him up. And there's 50 sodomites, homosexuals, that have been killed and another 50-some-odd injured. And then the Muslim guy himself was shot by the police, it sounds like. And here's the good news and the bad news about this. You know, the good news is that there's 50 less pedophiles in this world because, you know, these homosexuals are a bunch of disgusting perverts and pedophiles. That's who was a victim here, are a bunch of just disgusting homosexuals at a gay bar, okay? But the bad news is that this is now going to be used, I'm sure, to push for gun control where, you know, law-abiding normal Americans are not going to be allowed to have guns for self-defense. And then I'm sure it's also going to be used to push an agenda against so-called hate speech. So Bible-believing Christian preachers who preach what the Bible actually says about homosexuality, that it's vile, that it's disgusting, that they're reprobates, you know, we're going to be blamed. Like, oh, it's all extremism. It's not just the Muslims, it's the Christians. I'm sure that that's coming. I'm sure that people are going to start attacking, you know, Bible-believing Christians now because of what this guy did. Now, let me just be real clear. I've never advocated for violence. I don't believe in, you know, taking the law into our own hands. I would never go in and shoot up a gay bar, so-called. I don't believe it's right for us to just be a vigilante. We're supposed to obey the law of the land and obey the powers that be. So I would never take things into my own hands or become a vigilante. But I will say this, you know, the Bible says that homosexuals should be put to death in Leviticus 20:13. Obviously, it's not right for somebody to just, you know, shoot up the place because that's not going through the proper channels. But these people all should have been killed anyway, but they should have been killed through the proper channels, as in they should have been executed by a righteous government that would have, you know, tried them, convicted them, and saw them executed, because in Leviticus 20:13, God's perfect law, he put the death penalty on murder, and he also put the death penalty on homosexuality. That's what the Bible says, plain and simple. And so, the good news is that at least 50 of these pedophiles are not going to be harming children anymore. The bad news is that a lot of the homos in the bar are still alive, so they're going to continue to molest children and recruit people into their filthy homosexual lifestyle. And then the other bad news is that this is going to now be used as propaganda, not only against Muslims, but also against Christians. And of course, Islam is a wicked religion. Of course, it's a disgusting religion. Of course, the Quran is false. But the media makes a big deal out of stuff like this, and it's perfect. I mean, the devil loves this incident because it's perfect for him, because now he can push his agenda of, oh, we need to love homos and stop being hateful because look at these acts of violence that are provoked. Even though I've never heard any Bible-believing Christian preacher say that we should take things into our own hands and execute the wicked. You know, all I preach and all that any other, you know, Bible preacher have ever said about it is that it should be against the law to be a homosexual, which it was against the law until 2003 in the U.S., and that, you know, Leviticus 20:13 is still God's word. So, anyway, those are my thoughts on this attack. I'm not sad about it. I'm not going to cry about it because these people were going to die. These 50 people in the gay bar that got shut up, they were going to die of AIDS and syphilis and whatever else. They were all going to die early anyway, because homosexuals have a 20-year shorter lifespan than normal people anyway. And, you know, at least these dangerous predators, these dangerous filthy pedophiles at this gay bar, at least they're off the streets, you know. So I'm just trying to look on the bright side, you know. But again, you know, I don't condone vigilantism. So anyway, I just wanted to give you my thoughts, and God bless you. Have a great day.
I'm pretty sure it happened. I mean, hey, while I'm trying to deal with the author direct on, and you know, you do have to. All right, back on George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see if we can do this.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, it's been a fun day, folks. It's been trying, but I've enjoyed myself immensely. I told you I have some great guests on the show. Andrew Cleveland, Dre Cleveland, if I can pronounce it. When I think of Cleveland, I'm thinking of the Cleveland Cavaliers or something, but, you know, and Golden State, she did make a reference to that. That was funny. That was great. That was good. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, and it is beautiful, still beautiful outside, and it's going to be beautiful for the rest of the week as far as I'm concerned. Summertime is here, folks. Summertime is here. All right, I want to thank all of those people, no matter where you are, whether you're in Chicago or Los Angeles, New York, Missouri, Kansas, wherever you are, Texas, any part of Texas. I want to thank all of those people out there who are giving of their time. And there's a lot. There's quite a few giving of their time, especially in Chicago, the Chicago schools, giving up their time to help out our young people, to help out the children, to help the children where the politicians have failed. See, that's the thing is, the politician has failed to help our children. We got to get out there and do our bit to make sure we make that up. We cannot have politicians destroying the lives of our kids through education and jobs, you know? So we have to get out there and do what we can. We cannot trust politicians no more with the lives of our children, especially in public schools, funding the public schools. You know, it ain't going to happen. The rich, they just don't give a damn. At least it's Bruce Rauner. He doesn't give a damn about the kids in Chicago, the kids in poor schools in Chicago and some poor schools around the state. He cares about the kids who are in the rich schools because he's a rich man. And rich people look out for rich people. They step on the poor and look out for those who have what they have. You know, so this is just insane. And I want to take my hat off, if I had one on, to all those folks out here, the young people, middle-aged seniors, all these folks out here who are giving back to the community by helping out at-risk youth. And I want to even thank Mary Emanuel for, I know that's weird, but hey, I want to even thank him for having this one summer job program that's taking at youth risk off the street and giving them something productive to do, teaching them about money, teaching them how to handle money, a bank account, you know, debit card, credit cards, how to manage money. You know, that's a great thing, because if you don't know how to manage money, I talk to my son about managing money and saving money all the time. I'm pretty sure he'll get that someday, you know, but the minute he turns 18, I'm going to open up a bank account for him. And so he'll learn how to manage money. And because that's very important for our young people to learn, is how to manage money. You don't know how to manage money, you're going to wind up homeless. You don't know how to manage money or count money, somebody's going to cheat you out every dime you got. So it's imperative that our young people learn how to manage money, because the future is theirs. not ours. It's over for me. You know, I'm looking out for those who are younger, and I'm looking out for those who are younger and are thirsting for knowledge, if I can say it. So I want to thank all of those people over there who are trying to keep young people out of gangs, who are trying to keep young girls off the streets, who are trying to keep young girls from getting hooked up in sex trafficking, because that's a lot of that's going out here, folks. I even see that outside my studio window, sex trafficking, guys beating up on girls, pushing girls, and girls crying. I see it all the time. You know, so we got to try to keep young girls from falling into that trap. And the young girls who are into sex trafficking, you got to convince them that that's not the way to go, because you got some girls out here thinking that's the way life is. It's to sell your body. It's to be, you know, disrespected and verbally abused and physically abused by some dirtbag pimp or some dirtbag little punk, you know. So we got to reach young people, especially young girls, before their lives are ruined by some dirtbag loser. You know, I'm very passionate about that. I'm working on a story about that. It's fiction, but it's pretty interesting. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to say one more time, I want to thank everybody in the city of Chicago, New York, California, wherever you are. If you're helping our troubled youth, if you're helping out with educating and mentoring our youth into being better citizens, I'm all for that, because I'm doing my part right here on the radio. Sometimes I have to get out and get into some more of it, because I love putting action behind what I'm saying. Volunteering is great. If you want to volunteer to help out the youth, to help people to read and write, and you have those skills, hey, go right ahead. That's great, because there's a lot of people out here who want to read. If someone wants to write a book, you have the knowledge of showing someone how to write that book. It's all about helping. It's all about making the world a better place. That's the only thing this show is about, making the world a better place. I'm not here for anything other than that. Anything other than that. And I will jump in these politicians' ass. And if you like this show, if you're encouraged by this show, send me some feedback. Let me know what you think, how you feel. If you like this show, make sure you tell others about the show. And maybe you can get on the show, and maybe the other people that you tell or let know about the show can also get on the show. But before you can get on the show, you have to make sure you have something that you can give to the show in terms of helping other people to better themselves and to better their lives. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. It's about nothing else. It's not about me. It's not about me, folks. It's not about the show. It's about the show. It's about me giving you a platform in order to help other people. That's all it's about. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, we've got it. Is it there? Okay. All right, we're back on the George Wilder Jr. Show.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
We got breaks in that. We got about 5 more minutes left into the show, folks. So we're going to just try and ease it on out. And I want to say this by easing it on out, if I can get it out of my mouth. My throat is kind of stuck. Anyway, I want to reiterate what I just got through saying before the song came on, is that thank all the people who are helping our youth around the world, you know, around the world, because the world is messed up. And making the world a better place one show at a time is what this show is all about. But we need help. I cannot do it alone. I stress this every day and every episode on the show. If you listen, just about every one of my shows sound the same. It sounds like the same show all the time. It is the same show all the time. It may be the same, even though I may have the same topics all the time, but majority of the time there's a different guest on the show. And my guest is some of the brightest people in the world. I mean, they are some of the brightest people in the world, and I get calls from all around the world, not just Chicago, not just Illinois, not just, you know, the United States, but outside of the United States, Africa, India, you name it, Europe. Yeah, and others. So this is not just a poot butt show. It's not just another internet show. It's not. It's a serious show, folks. I mean, my show could be up there with the best of them, and I don't see too many. You know, I listen to other talk shows, broadcast radio mostly, and I find myself, you know, saying, "Wow, I can do better than that." You know. But, you know, it takes time, and as time goes by, we all learn, we all get better at what we do. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We got about how many minutes? Okay, 3 minutes left into the show. And, yeah, and I want to say this, that they are talking about a budget for the city, the budget for Illinois. As I've said, folks, we're the only state, Illinois is the only state within America, the United States, without a budget. And that's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Will we have a budget by tonight? I have no idea. My guess would be no, because these guys, they don't like each other, but they're going to have to do something. I mean, road construction is about to halt, and this is no joke. And other services are going to halt. We got doctors and nurses leaving the city of Chicago, going working someplace else. We've got people, we've got students who are refusing to enroll into our colleges and universities because of the state mess. Folks, this is serious. This is no joke. You know, I mean, we need, I stated one time, I said, wow, this state is so messed up. We need federal help. We need somebody to come in here and take Illinois away from these politicians because they're not doing the right thing. Somebody has to come in and say, hey, wow, you jackasses who's supposed to be running this state, you're not running it. You're running it into the ground. So we're going to come in, the federal government, we're going to come in and take it. Obviously, people are hooking me up, said George, it doesn't work that way. The federal government ain't got nothing on the state, you know. But, you know, something has to be done. The federal government, you know, may not be able to do it, but something, maybe they can do it, but they won't do it. You know, something has to be done to keep a rogue politician, a sad-ass, failing-ass politician from ruining the state. That's all I'm trying to do. This show is about making the world a better place one show at a time. This is what I'm about, trying to get politicians, good politicians, to do their diligence and save Illinois, because the politicians are killing it. Okay, we got about a few minutes left into the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank my guests. I want to thank people out there who are podcasting and downloading this show and listening to the show and buying my books, which is great. That's wonderful. So I hope you join me tomorrow. Okay, well, let's see if we can get this. If we can get this out. I hope you join me tomorrow, same time on this show, folks. All righty. We're going to have to take it on out. Can we do the music? All right. All right. Join me tomorrow, folks. Yeah.